Turn to Luke 4, if you would. You can have your handout, too, handy, if you would. I want us to read the passage here about Jesus preaching and preaching the gospel and what that means and why that was important for him to do it and for us to do it. And we're getting back into some new material. And this is good that our boys and girls, even very young ones, would think of Jesus not only as the Savior, which is uppermost, of course they need to know that, but to think of Him as He truly was, the preacher and the teacher. And just maybe by thinking that way, then when they hear their teacher, they will think even more highly than maybe they have been thinking. You know, this is what Jesus did. And of course, preaching, whoever is preaching from a pulpit at any time, if they're preaching the truth, they're doing what Jesus did. Of course, He taught and He preached unlike any other. And we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, as you know, many of you are here on Sunday night, and nothing could ever equal that sermon. What a sermon. And it's called the Sermon on the Mount, and it has gone down in history as the greatest sermon of all time, and nobody will dispute that, because it was from the master preacher and teacher himself. Let's read Luke 4, beginning in verse 15. You see that in the middle of your page? There is kind of the key passage. It says in Luke 15, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I will tell you of a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias.'" That is Elijah, that's who he's talking of. "When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Well, there are a number of times in this passage where it says he taught or he preached. You noticed those, didn't you, as we read along? So this was a big part of his ministry. Jesus came as a preacher and as a teacher. I can remember a few years ago hearing at a funeral service, this goes back at least 26 years because it was in the other end of the state, when I pastored in West Tennessee, and I was not conducting the service, but I was attending the service. As I recall, it was someone who had been a judge, and he was a retired judge, and it was a fairly large service in the Methodist Church there in Halls, Tennessee. And so out of respect, I knew this gentleman, and living in Halls, it was such a community that was not unusual to go to other churches for funerals, because you knew a lot of people, and it just was that kind of place, like a Mayberry. So we went in, and I can remember sitting there. It's the first time I'd ever heard this comment, and I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi that the preacher, and they had several, referred to in a passing comment. And he quoted St. Francis, I believe it was, of Assisi, who said, and he was referring to the gentleman who lived this out. He said, preach the gospel at all times, use words when necessary. And I thought of that, and I thought, that sure was a great compliment of that. And I've thought of that statement ever since. And it is a good statement in its own way. But here's the thing that I don't like about that statement. Words are necessary. You don't just preach the gospel by your life. Think of this. If anybody could have preached the gospel by their life, it would have been Christ. He could have just gone around with a nice smile, a pleasant look, a nice demeanor, healing the sick, casting out demons, putting his hands on the children, receiving them, all of that, the meekness, the compassion, the touch. He didn't have to say anything, but he did. Because people need to hear the truth. And so that right there, I think that it's a well-meaning statement, but maybe not, just don't take it all hook, line, and sinker. Because words are necessary, and Jesus used words to teach and to preach. That's just a part of doing both of those things, as we well know. And so this is what he came to do. You have a very simple little outline. I want to focus on a couple of things, if I could, since we can't ever get to all of this. One is the fact that he preached, and he preached with authority, and he always preached the truth, even when it was not necessarily well received. In other words, what he said here, and you notice earlier in the passage, about in the middle of the passage, what he had preached about what had happened in Old Testament time with Elijah and Elisha. Basically, what rubbed him wrong was there were many people, but only two people he mentioned in the ministry of Elisha and Elijah were blessed, and those happened to be Gentiles. And that was highly offensive. And so that's the reason they marched him to the brow of the hill and were ready to cast him over the cliff, but it wasn't his time. And so let's not forget that part. He just walked through the crowd and they couldn't do that because it was not, it says in verse 30, there it is, he passing through the midst of them went his way. But nonetheless, they didn't like the truth, and yet he preached the truth. With that in mind, Let's go from this to a passage in John that I think speaks volumes about his preaching. And that is the one you have there under point number one near the end of that first paragraph, John 18, verses 33 through 38. And this sums up a lot of Christ's preaching right here. It's a summary statement here about his preaching and teaching. John 18, verse 33, this is when he is on trial before Pilate. It's a mock trial, but nonetheless, we refer to it as his trial before Pilate. Remember, he was bounced back and forth between the religious authorities and then Pilate, the government authority. And this is that part of that questioning. Then Pilate, verse 33 says, entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Notice that. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. We'll stop right there. This sums up his preaching and teaching ministry, I think, in a very effective way, comprehensive way. He came, he said, to bear witness of the truth, unto the truth. And wherever he preached, he always preached truth. Sometimes it was received, sometimes it was rejected and resented. But he was a preacher of truth, was he not? And so we appreciate that. That's what we need to hear. And when a teacher teaches, no matter who the teacher is, no matter who the preacher is, we should expect that we would fall in the footsteps of our Savior, who was the way, the truth, and the life, and that we would teach the truth, that we would rightly divide the word of truth. That's what it says. Even speaks of the Bible as the word of truth, the scriptures, and rightly divided. So that is what preaching is all about. It's not giving a message that's likable, or one that's popular, or one that fits the people's desires or any of that. It's not to show the person's speaking ability, or it's not oratory. Preaching is not, teaching is not. It's all about truth. It's all about truth. This is the one thing that must be taught and must be preached. And so I think we would do well to remember that and to pray for that in our church, and to be thankful for the truth that we have in the Word, and that we are able to hear it together from time to time. It was, as your note points out, an authoritative message. An authoritative message. And Josh has been doing a really good job each Sunday night as he's preached on this section that is referred to here in the note, where you've heard it said, Jesus would say throughout the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said, thus and such, but I say unto you. And what Jesus did there was he uncovered the truth after it had been varnished over, layered over with human tradition. And so much so that it was the power of the truth had been covered up. And so it wasn't what the rabbis said or what the rabbis thought. What was the unvarnished truth? And that's what he kept doing in that great Sermon on the Mount. I say unto you, and he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's look at that right quick over here in Matthew 7, because it'll be a while before Josh gets there at the rate we're going. I thought that might get a laugh from somebody. And I'm glad you're laughing, because I wasn't saying that in a judgmental way. I'm glad he's slowing down and he's digging in and getting all these jewels. But here at the very end of Matthew, here is how it ends. The Sermon on the Mount, that is. Chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So that is another common element in his teaching and preaching. He taught as one with authority. He taught the truth. And you put those together, no wonder he's the master teacher, the master preacher, because he had absolute authority and taught the truth. Now, that brings another thing, and I know I'm going to jump here, but I'm going to jump in your notes over to page 148. And just show you what is over here later on. After the notes on the first couple of pages, down at the bottom of 148 are some notes from a sermon I preached about 4 years ago now, on Christ the Master Teacher. And when you get over into the sermon, after a little bit of an introduction, I tell a story there about something happened at Tri-Cities Christian School that was important to me, and kind of a good, what I felt like was a good lead into the message. But the gist of this message is this, that he was the master teacher because he often taught by pointing people to what the Scripture said. So when we think of Christ's authority in preaching and teaching, it was not only that he was the Son of God, and whatever he would say would have authority just by virtue of who he is, right? But what really came as the authority of his speaking, his preaching and teaching, was he kept referring to the Scriptures. And whether it was marriage, whether it was the Ten Commandments and the interpretation of those, or whatever it was, he went to the Scriptures. And often, as you remember, in his preaching, which sometimes would come about because somebody asked him a question. Master, what do you think about this? And his response was, have you not read? Have you not heard? And of course, he's referring to the ultimate authority. There is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, pointing to the written Word of God, the Scriptures, as the ultimate authority. So the sermon you have there, the first part is Christ's high view of Scripture, and then his frequent use of Scripture. So that's one aspect of him being the master teacher and master preacher. And then over near the end, just to show you what's here so you won't overlook it, I included this really good material from J.I. Packer. It's one of the best things I've ever read on his article entitled, What is the Gospel Message? Because we haven't had time to get into all of that. We know that's the ultimate truth, is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And by believing in him, we have forgiveness. We're made right with God. That is the good news. But the gospel needs to also present repentance, doesn't it? And in order to do that, you have to teach and preach that we're sinners in need of a Savior and in need of repentance. So this really is a good summary, a concise summary of the gospel in its content and also the need for repentance and faith and what that's all about by J.I. Packer. You can probably read that beginning on page 152 over to part of 154. I think you could probably read that in about 2 or 3 minutes. And it's pure gold. And if you have somebody that you might be talking to or working with, you can just give them a copy of that. Or you can let them have your copy or whatever, and just let them read through that. Or maybe you can sit with them and kind of comb through that. Excellent, excellent way to understand the gospel. Well, our time is up, as it usually is, pretty quickly. But it was a good time, even though we didn't get to cover but only so much material. Let's bow for a brief word of prayer, and then we'll have Matt lead us in a final song. Father, how we praise you and thank you for the truth and the truth of the gospel. We thank you for Christ, who is the truth of the gospel. He came, he lived the perfect life, he died, he rose, all so that we might have salvation in and through him. We thank you for showing us in your word the need for us to repent and believe in him. And this message needs to be preached, of course, and taught in our church. It needs to be shared in one-on-one ways of evangelism. And help us to do all of that. And help us to always stay faithful to your word and to the gospel. We pray in Christ's name.